You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Speak right now. He's a pastor. He's been a pastor since 2014. He's also author. He's written about I think 5 different books. And so what makes him special? Can we put that first picture up? Sorry, can we get that first picture up here? And so this is him. This is who I'm talking about. And so he is a soldier. He basically is a former U.S. Army Ranger. And so these guys are no joke. And so here he is there. He's got his all his medals there. And so this is when he was younger. And what reason why I want to speak about him a little bit is because before he became a pastor, he was a U.S. Army Ranger. And in 1993, he was involved in a battle in Mogadishu. And so many of you might know what he was doing there. Basically, what happened was that when American armies were there, they were coming in. They was going to do some stuff. You can read about it afterwards. And one of the soldiers, rangers that was going to jump out of a helicopter, he fell out of the helicopter and landed on the ground. He was unconscious. And so this is in a war zone in Mogadishu. And so what happened was is that he's a ranger in one of these Humvees. And so they said, listen, you've got to go in and get this soldier. And so he goes in with this Humvee truck, and he goes in, I'll show you in a minute, but he goes in with all of this. And so they make a book out of this battle. They make a book out of it. They make a movie out of it. And it was called Black Hawk Down. Now, some of you might have heard of the book or the movie. Can we get the next thing? And so here is the helicopter, Black Hawk Down. This is one of the helicopters. And so let's go to the next slide. And so he drives one of these things, kind of like this. I don't think it's exactly like this. And he goes in and he gets the soldier that has landed basically on the floor, and he puts him into this Humvee, and they're driving back. And at the top, there's like there's a hole there, and so they're taking in all this intense fire. People are firing guns at them and all of this stuff. And so there's a guy at the top on the tariff of this thing, and he's shooting at these soldiers that are firing at him. And so what happens is this guy. So they've got this the injured pilot or the injured soldier from the helicopter in their truck. They're going back to their base. They've got a guy on the top firing, and all of a sudden one of the enemies fire in and it kills the guy that's firing at the top. And so this guy slumps into the back of this Humvee and he's bleeding out. He's dead. And so the guy says, I showed you, he said he's driving through this. There's bullets flying everywhere. They get out of it by miraculous. He's like, it's a miracle that we got out of it. And they go back to the base. And so as soon as they get back to the base, they've just got out of that. One of their soldiers has died. One of their comrades, their friend has died. And so the guy comes up to them and says, one of the helicopters is down. And what he says is, one of the Black Hawks are down. That's where the title comes for the book. And so we need you to go back out and rescue the pilots that were in the helicopter. And so you got to imagine, he's just come back. And in the back of this, you know, these things, it's not like carpet and things in the back of those Jeeps. Really, what this is just metal, maybe a seat. It's covered in a pool of blood at the back. Another soldier says, listen, before you go out and take the soldiers back out, you better clean out that blood, because if they're sitting in that blood of their comrade, that's going to do something to them psychologically. So he takes the Humvee and he moves it to the side, and he said there's no running water. So what he does is he gets like buckets of water and he's trying to wash out the blood, pools of blood of his comrade. And he says, as he's doing this, he says this fear comes over him. And he says, you know what? You're going to die. Now, I don't know if you've ever had an experience where you was almost guaranteed you're going to die. I've never had that. I may have been in a place where I thought, boy, this is a bit dangerous. But to be in a place where it's almost, you're assured, like it's not even a 50-50. We're talking more like 80-20. More likely you're going to die. And he says at that point, he doesn't want to go back out. Remember now, he's in the safety of the barracks of the with all the soldiers, but he's been ordered to go back out and rescue these other soldiers. And he said, you know what? He said, this was overwhelming. And he said, at that point, he could do what only any Christian can do when you're in a position where you're full of fear. What do? All you can do is pray. And he said, he starts to pray. And he says, as he starts to pray, he feels God speak to him about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. When Jesus was overwhelmed by the tension of the moment. And he says, at that moment, he said he submitted his will to the Father. And he said, you know what, Lord, my life is in your hands and I'll go back out. This is what my job is. This is what I'm meant to do. I will go back out to rescue my comrades. And he says this peace comes upon him. And he says, as he goes out, bullets are flying everywhere and none of them hit him. He makes this statement. He says, bullets are flying anywhere. He says, there's one of these rocket launchers that these guys, you know, surface to air missile, I don't know what they're called. It fires, the guy fires it, it bounces off the roof and flies up in the air and explodes. He says he gets back after this intense battle. And what happens is that night, he says the next day, all of these soldiers. So he's explaining that these men are army rangers. These are like the toughest of the toughest. These men are not sissies. But they come into him saying, you know what, I need to talk to you. Because when we saw you in this battle, there was just a calmness. There was like you did not have the fear we had. There was something about you. And he said at that moment, he knew his calling in life was to lead men to Jesus. He knew at that moment in time, he says, for that moment in time, he knew. And so for 11 years, he was a chaplain in the army. And then he retired, and now he's a pastor. And I want you to think about this. Here is this guy surrounded by safety. He's made it back, but he's given orders to go back out. Can I tell you, even though we are surrounded by safety, we have been commanded to go back out. I want to preach a sermon, leave the 99. Luke 15, verse 4, the Bible says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one? Say one. Which is lost until he finds it. And when he finds it, he says, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. Say rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you likewise, there be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy, your love, your kindness. Father, I just thank you. I pray that your spirit would be in this place. Holy Spirit, speak to us, minister to us. Let our hearts be open. You know our journey. You know our levels. You know what's going on in our lives. We expose ourselves to your Holy Spirit. We open up this whole service to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We desperately need you, Father. We desperately need you, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Glorify Christ in our lives. We ask you this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I want to, like I said, I want to minister this sermon about leaving the 99. You know, first of all, I want to say this, that Jesus is always on mission. Jesus is always on mission. How many know that? Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's what he came to do. And so if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to be on mission. That's the reality. If you're going to follow Jesus, you've always got to be on mission. Let me give you an illustration here. James, can I have you? Because you're just sitting on the end. And then, Michael, come on. Yes, that's right. And so what I want you to do is, James, I would like you just to stand here, please. And when I say, come follow me, I want you to say, I'm following you. But you just stay there. You just don't move. Amen. I want you to, when I click my fingers, I want you to do everything I do. Yeah, everything I do. And so this is how we're going to do. Ready? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus really loves you. Jesus loves you. How you doing? Be blessed. Be blessed. Jesus loves you. Come follow me. Jesus loves you. Be blessed. He really loves you. Amen. God loves you. Hallelujah. Come follow me. Come follow me. Come follow me. Come follow. No. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. I couldn't resist it. I couldn't resist it. I couldn't. It's just in me, isn't it? It's in me. So, Roger started to. Listen. How many know that if you're following Jesus, it's more than just saying you're following Jesus? You need to be doing what Jesus is doing. If you're following Jesus, you're always going to be on mission. You're always going to be on mission because that the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That's what he's about. So if you're following Jesus, you're about seeking and saving the lost. Now, this sounds good, but I want to say is that for you to seek and save the lost, you're going to have to leave the 99. In our text, the Bible says, here is a man who has 100 sheep, but one of them has gone astray. He has 100 sheep. One of them, 100, take away one from 100, you get? 99. Oh, you're genius. Let me try this, because you guys said it like you wasn't too sure. Take one away from 100, you get? 99. Yeah, look, from the mouth of babes, amen. And so think about this now. He says, what he does is for him to go on a mission for that one, he has to leave the 99. I want to say to you today, for us to really be on mission with Jesus, you know, conference comes up, we get all emotional, we start to, yeah, the nations. But I want to tell you, for you to be on mission, you've got to leave the 99. And what that means is you're going to have a mindset, a specific mindset. That's not happy with 99. You're going to have a mindset that says 99 is not 100. That's really what you're going to have to say. I'm not happy with a 9. You know, you need to have 100% mindset. You know, nowadays people, I'll be like, hey, what do you think? Should we do that? And they're like, would that be good? They go, yeah, 100, Pastor. 100. 100. I'm like, what? No, we're not going to have 100 concerts, but one. Let's have one. And I've realized, I'm joking, you know, I'm not that. I just like to muck about. Or they text you that little emoji, red 100. And basically, it's a positive thing. Amen? Just confirming with you, just in case I've read it wrong and said this, and I've been sending it to you, 100. And so think about it now. What people are saying is 100%. What this mindset, 100, what we're saying about this guy is that what he's saying is it's good, but it could be better. How many know 99 is good? If you have 99, it's good. Why don't you just chill? You got 99. Why are you thinking about going and getting more? If you've got 99, 99 is not bad. 99 is good, but this is a different mindset. I'm not talking about a normal mindset. This is a different mindset. This is a kingdom mindset that says, yeah, this is good, but it could be better. That I could be, there are people here. Listen, you're good, but you could be better. You need to have the 100 mindset. You're talking about 100 all the time, texting 100. You need to put 100, text it to yourself. Put that emoji, text it to yourself in your mind. You need that type of mindset that says, listen, I want to go better. I want to be better in my career, better in my education, better in my marriage, better as a parent, better as a minister, better in my church. That's how the mindset needs to be. Not only does it say, you know what, this is good, but I could be better. What it says is, this is not wrong, but it's just not the mission. How many on the 99 is not wrong? But that's not the mission. The mission is the one. You know, many times as Christians, you know what we always want to do? Just tell me what's wrong. Is it wrong or right? Am I allowed or not allowed? How many know that's how we like Christianity? We just want to, constantly, God is saying, I'd like a relationship with you. We keep saying, I'd like a religion with you. Tell me what I can do and what I don't need to do. I've done my little 10 things, kick, tick, 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 tick. Then I can go back to my normal life. That's not what God wants. So we keep asking God, is it wrong? Sometimes you'll speak to people and say, listen, hey, you should do this, you should do that. Well, what I'm doing, is it wrong? No, the 99 is not wrong. Staying with the 99 is not wrong, but it's just not the mission. I want to ask you a question today. Do you have a mission mind? Look at someone and say, do you have a mission mind? How many of you here, you're born again? You're born again, okay. How many of you here, you're soldiers? Okay, there's a few hands over here. These are the soldiers here, man. There's only one, so one, two, three, amen. Listen, if you, maybe you're a Christian, but you don't know that you're supposed to be a soldier. Maybe you're a Christian, but you don't know that you're supposed to be a soldier. Listen to what the Bible says, Philippians 2, 25. Yet I consider it necessary to send you Epaphras. My brother, look how Paul speaks about one of these disciples that's helping him. He says, he's my brother, my fellow worker, and a fellow soldier. Paul was never in the army. Paul is calling Christians soldiers. Are you living like a soldier or a civilian? I want to be a Christian. Do you want to be a soldier? I want to be a Christian. Do you want to be a soldier? Paul says, he's my brother, he's my fellow laborer, and he's my soldier. That's how I want to talk about. Many of you know, the young guys, when I talk to them, well, I call them, I say, what's up, young soldier? Because they're soldiers. That's biblical. People thought, yeah, you just get old. No. Biblical. Paul called him a soldier. That's why I'm calling guys, you young soldier. See, there's a difference between a civilian, being a civilian, and a soldier. Soldiers were made for war. We're in a war. Civilians, listen, there's no point. When Syria was attacked by ISIS, all the civilians fled. Get on boats, get on things. They wanted to rush into Europe. I'm not against or for it. I'm just saying. Where were the soldiers? Soldiers don't flee. Soldiers fight. When the devil comes in and there's an intensity, civilians flee. Soldiers fight. That's not even, that sounds like a good sermon. It's not even this sermon. 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier. So many churches, they don't teach people that they're supposed to be soldiers. I want to speak about the 99 that you and I are going to have to battle with. Because there are things, the Bible says that when the guy goes out and he gets the sheep, there's so much joy. So many times in our Christianity, we're being robbed of joy. We're being robbed of joy. And when you don't have the joy that the kingdom gives, you know what? You're going to search for the joy that the world gives. I want to speak about to the mature saint. Let me tell you how the 99 is going to hold on to you, mature saint. You've got ministry, you've got marriage, you've got kids, you've got family, and you're doing well. But is the one the priority anymore? Is the one the priority anymore? You've got a good life. See, this is how the 99 holds many of us. Many of us, we won't go for the one because the 99 is holding us. It's gripping hold of us. And we've been saved for a while. And we're established now. And we're married now. We've got jobs now. And we've got ministry now. But the reality is the one still a priority. Is the lost one is still a priority. See, the 99 speaks of the comfort. Speaks of the safety. And what we start to do is, listen, I'm talking to you and me. If you're an established saint here, then I'm talking to me because I'm an established saint. The reality is, you know what we start to do? We start to distance ourselves from the one. We want to just surround ourselves with the 99. See, all of our fellowships and our celebrations are all about the 99. Everything is about the 99. There's very little room in our lives for reaching the one. See, I understand this because, listen, the one is uncomfortable. The lost are uncomfortable. Going after the one, this sounds realistic. This sounds romantic. Oh, he goes after the one little sheep, and he picks up the sheep, and he puts the sheep on his back, and he comes back, and he's rejoicing. It's like romantic. Listen, what we're talking about here, let's bring it down to 2018. We're talking about working with raw sinners. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about allowing people into your life who are lost. Can I say to you, it's uncomfortable, it's inconvenient, and it's risky. People are crazy. How many people are crazy? People embarrass you, man. I remember in the early days taking people to, I'm not going to mention no names, taking people to the mother church.
They'd embarrass me, man. Taking people would come. I took disciples to the mother church. They were mocking my pastor. They were laughing at his trousers. I was vexed. They're like, I looked across. I'm like, this is in the presence of God. They're going to get spiritually filled. Come back, disciples. I'm like, his trousers. That's what they did the whole time. I had to be like, listen, man, don't diss my pastor. They would be doing a madness. Because, listen, people embarrass you. Because they're new converts. You bring new converts around your house, a swear word slips out. Get out. Hypocrite. Last night you was watching an 18. Only for swear words you listen to. Because you're around the church now. Get out. Listen, you just saw someone aside. Listen, there's no need for that type of language. But we love you. Give them a hug. See, what we want to do is we want to surround ourselves with the 99. I only want these type of people in my little group. I only want these type of people coming around my house. I only want these type of people that I'm fellowshipping with. I only want these type of people. We've got our little group. We've got a little syndicate. We've got our little thing. And it's that. And we're not going to let no new people into this. Because the new people will spoil it. I mean, listen, let's keep it real. New people do spoil it. Because they come in there, they're going to be weird and different and all of that. But this is, we've got to have this mindset. You're looking at me like, no, Pastor, we love the new people. You're so unspiritual. Okay, I'm the unspiritual one. But this, let me preach to myself. See, when you come to church, let's be honest today. Don't say yes or no. When you came to church today, was you thinking about the one? Did you think about the one? How many know most of us, we all sit in the same place every service? We sit in the same place every service. We think about the same thing every service. Are you thinking about the one? Are you thinking about the one? Are you thinking about the person that, the new people? Can I tell you, every new church has needed a couple that would leave the 99 and go out for the one. Every new church. Pastor, we want to send churches out. How many know we should be sending churches out? Thank you, Pastor Brandon. How many know we should be sending churches out? Amen. Okay, but how many of you want to leave the 99? How many want to leave the 99 and go after the one? Well, you know, it's not my time, you know. Praise God. The Bible did say pray for the laborers. I'm praying. The reality is, every new church means there was a couple that left the 99. There was a husband and a wife. A wife is willing to leave the 99. Many times it's really hard on the wives. See, the husband is the one up on the stage. The husband is the one people call the pastor. But the wife is just the person people are just, look how she dress. Look at her hair. She's not spiritual enough. She's too spiritual. She don't laugh enough. She laughs too much. That's the reality. In Rotherhithe, me and my wife, we had quite a good little youth ministry going on. We could maybe get up to about 70, 80 youth we could preach to. I'd be preaching to. I left that to come and preach to 8 people. To come and preach to 8 people. Because you leave the 99 to come and preach to the one. See, on the face of it, it always looks unwise. Why would you leave such a big crowd for a small crowd? You leave the 99 for the one. Listen, this church has to rise up. We got to do stuff. Because if we don't start sending, if we can't send couples, then I got to go again and do something else. Because we got to send someone. If they can't send you, then we send me. Something has to happen, man. Because we're about reaching the one. That's what we're about. We're about reaching the one. As long as we are touching nations. But there's no point of us just saying, you know what, we're happy. We got 99. Let's stay here. Let's be happy. We need to shake out and say, you know what, I want to reach the one. See, there are other people in the church today that I just spoke about, the mature saint. Those are the struggles that we have. But there are people here that the 99 is keeping you locked into the carnality. And what I mean by that is, you may look like you're interacting with the lost, but the reality is Your 99 is the world. You have not left behind the world yet. And so as much as you are hanging with new people, you are not helping new people. Listen to what he says in 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world. How many believe that? Do not love the world. I don't love the world, Pastor. Okay, no problem. Or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What the Bible is saying is not that Father doesn't love you. It says the love of the Father is not in you. That means when you and I start loving the world, we can't love the Father. The love of the world starts to kill the love of the Father in us. See, this is the reality of carnality. See, until we're willing to leave behind the world, we cannot reach the one. See, the world is like the sea, and me and you are like the lifeguards. And if someone's drowning, I've got to dive in the sea. That was a dumb kind of dive that was. Thanks for the sound effects, whoever it was over here. But that's how it is. You've got to dive in. So imagine the sea is the world. I'm the lifeguard. I've got to be in the world to rescue people. That's why Jesus says, you're in the world, but not of the world. How many know we can't just build a monastery? You know, we're like monks and nuns, that we just stay here. That was a wrong interpretation of carnality and worldliness that they did in the dark ages. What they said is, we're not going to interact with the world at all. They shut the doors and they just, you know, vow silence and they just walk up and down. But the problem was they're not reaching the world. So if I'm a lifeguard and I say, no, I'm not going in the sea, it's too dangerous. Yeah, but you got to go in the sea. And when you're in the sea, some of it's going to go in your mouth, some of it's going to go in your ear, and you got to spit it out. But this is the difference. Some people are in the sea, but if the sea gets in you, you're drowned. Remember, you're the lifeguard. The sea is the world. You got to be in the world, but if the world is in you, you drowned. See, you're no good. If the world is in you, if you're worldly, you're no good. You can't make disciples because you ain't a disciple. You can't teach what you don't know. Do you know that? You can't teach what you don't know. You could come to me after service and say, Pastor, I've got this math test, the trigonometry and algebra, and could you teach me? I don't know those things. I've never studied it. I can't teach you what I don't know. How many know that? You can't teach what you don't know. If you ain't a disciple, if you haven't said, you know what, I need to let go of the world so that I can rescue the lost. Last year, I read a book about North Korea. I read these three books, one about Russia, one about North Korea, one about China. Sometimes I'm reading in the news about these countries and about communism, and I like to know some stuff. You ever listen to things you think, I don't even know what that place is about? So I was like, let me read three books about these things. So one of these books I read about North Korea, it spoke about this guy. So North Korea have had three generations of one family running them. The King Yong Yong Zong Zong Zings, Kim Kong Kong Skings. If you're from North Korea, good. Praise God. Because no one's from North Korea here, they don't let them out. Praise God. So I know they're not here. Praise God. That's why I said, if you're here, good. It's good that you're here. And so you'll be happy. Listen, you don't mind. And so, okay. Some of you, I can see some of you offended by that. Okay, I apologize. It's racist. And so, okay. So let's come down to the end. And so in every house, there was a picture of the leader at the time. I don't know if this was the son, the grandson, the grandfather. There's a picture in every house, and their bodies are in red. So they worship these people. They're like deities. Every house has one. And if you was to damage that picture, they would deal with you. Deal with you. You're going to be dealt with. So one time there's a flood in one of these towns where this house is. And so the sea is, this river has flooded its banks and it's rushing. And so there's this man, and basically he's got to flee for his life. So he takes the picture and he takes his daughter and he's trying to get across this river. And it's a torrent and it's going like that. And all of a sudden this wave goes over him and he drops his daughter and the picture. And what he does, the next move he makes, he's in a dilemma now. Which one do I go for first? And he grabs the picture. And then he tries to go for his daughter, but it's just too late. And she's washed away and she dies. Can I tell you, my friend, that's how some Christians are. They hold on, they want to hold on. I want to make disciples. They're talking the talk, but you're holding on to the world. And the problem is, as long as you keep putting the world as a priority, you can't reach the lost. You've got to make a decision of let go of the world so that you can reach the lost. You know what they did in North Korea when I read in the book? They celebrated the guy. They put him on a stage and they said, "This is a good man. Look at his loyalty." Can I tell you, when you hold on to the world and you forsake the things of the kingdom, the world will celebrate you. The world will like you on Instagram, like you on Facebook. They will lift you up. But just as I look at that man, I pity him, I pity you. If the world gives you the praise, but you've lost the things of the kingdom, I pity you. I do not envy you. I'm not angry with you. I'm excited, yeah. But I'm not angry. I pity you that you would be so close to the glorious things of God and we'd let them go for the world. You listen, the Bible says in Jude 23, something like, what chapter? Nah, you don't read your Bibles. And if you laughed, then I know you got it. You read your Bible. If you're like, what is he talking about? You don't read your Bible. If you see someone laughing, ask them after church. Why was you laughing? Look what he says here. He says, but others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, saving people. Then he says, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. You know what the Bible says here? It says, we are to do everything we can to save people, but don't allow sin to be on you. That you should hate the garment of flesh. In other translation, it speaks about the spots, that you don't even want a spot of sin on you, but you're trying to save people. See, we're not just trying to build a big crowd here. I hope you know that. Listen, if I was to get the praise, and you know, let me not say this, I have to be careful. How do I say this? Okay, let me just say this. If I was to go down to the pub and hire some hoochie mamas to come up and parade themselves on the stage on a Sunday, and I advertise, listen, there's going to be scantily clad ladies, this place will be full. But how many know we wouldn't be able to reach the lost? Because we would have made them more lost. So we're not just trying to build a crowd here. We must maintain a certain level of sanctification. Many times people are, people are getting saved there. People are getting saved. Listen, we're not trying to build a mob. We're trying to build a church. Let me speak about the 99 that holds back the new convert. And the 99 that's holding you back, new convert, is that you've got to leave behind the old life. You've got to let go of the old life. You know what the 99 to you is? The partying and the clubbing. Social media, the people that you're following. Some of you need to relook at who you're following on social media. Do you know, when I first got Twitter, you know, old boy, man, OB. And so I remember looking, you know, this thing's new. So I'm following people, getting excited. Someone follows me. Ooh, got 10 people, man. It's popular. And so I'm following people. And I my idea is I'm just going to follow you. You follow me. And we all live happily ever after. Ha, 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 ha. I started to realize, oh, no. Some people, and then what I would do is people would start following me, so I'd get like a little notification, so-and-so's following you. And so then I would look at, and I'd want to follow them, and then I'd go and look at who they're following. I made the biggest mistake. On some Christians, I'm not going to say this church, I'm just going to say some Christians, they were following people that are putting out pornography. It was pornography. Literally, I'm defiled. One image has been engraved in my mind. It's disgusting. I would not, I was thinking, do I mention? And I was like, nah. I can't even mention it. I wouldn't even want to defile you with it. It was pornography. It is a bad thing. And that was a Christian following that. I want to tell you, Christian, new convert, you need to look at your life and you need to say, I'm letting go of the world. I'm letting go of the world. You've got to make a decision, new convert. If the 99 is holding you back, God is calling you and saying, listen, I've got destiny for you. I want to use you. Come, we're going to go and rescue the one. And you're like, yeah, let's go. But the 99 of your old life is holding you back. The unsaved girlfriend and boyfriend, you haven't made a decision yet about purity. Still kissing and hugging and touching and feeling. It's gone quiet in here, man. Woo! We're on point. Look at someone say, we're on point. We're on point, man. This is ground zero. Yeah, when it goes quiet like that, I love it. Love it. But in all seriousness, you know, I like to a little bit of banter, but in all seriousness, listen, you've got to leave behind the old life. You've got to go on record for Jesus. The night I got saved, I went home and told my friends, that's it, I'm saved. No more girls. No more sex outside of marriage. I don't rave with you guys no more. I don't bum weed with you guys no more. I don't do none of those things with you no more. I'm saved. That was the night I got saved. I'm saved. Some of you haven't made that decision yet. Some of you haven't told people yet. That's why you keep getting pulled back. You keep going up. You go up 2 steps, back 10 steps. You've got to go on record with people. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm not living that life no more. This is what, you know, in the early days, I remember when Kenny started coming to the church and he put something on Facebook about being saved and who wants to come to church. And from that, 2 guys came to church. James and John, the disciples. Like, what, Pastor, the ones in the Bible? Yeah. They came to church because he put it on. He's like, yeah. Can I tell you today, we've got to make stands. We've got to say, listen, I want to go all the way. See, how can you sit and laugh with people that you know are dying and going to hell? You know, sometimes people say, no, they're my friends, Pastor, man, I can't. And you have not told them? And you sit and laugh with them? Imagine there were 5 of you in a hospital bed and you was all dying of Ebola. 5 of you in a hospital bed. You're all dying of Ebola. You're all brethren. You've known each other a long time. And then we come up to you and we say, listen, come to this other hospital. We wheel you to another hospital. We take you in an ambulance. We bring you out. We say, we're going to put you for some treatment. We put you for some treatment for a week. You're totally healed. Totally healed. Would you ever dare to go back into that hospital, get back into the same bed, and just lie down and joke with them, knowing that they're going to die soon, and not tell them you found the cure? But people do it. They go back into the same school, the same college, the same house, the same shops, the same whatever, and go there and laugh and joke. Look at football, look at boxing, and laugh and joke, and do not tell people, listen, I'm saved now. I found the antidote now. Sin is killing way more people than Ebola. Sin is killing way more people than Ebola. Have you gone on record, new convert? Listen, youth in this place, 15, 16, 17, 14, have you gone on record at school? I'm only young. Listen, 14-year-olds go to hell. If you're old enough to get your way around an iPhone and look at things and do all of that, you're of an age where you have a conscience. You know right or wrong. You're big enough, yeah. You know right or wrong. If you don't repent, I thank God my mom told me from the age of 15, from the age of 14, from the age of 13, my mom told me straight, listen, if you don't repent, you're going to hell. I want to go here. You ain't going there if you're living under my roof. I want to put this up on the wall. You're not putting that up on the wall if you live in my roof. My mom told me straight. And yes, I went wayward. But inside of me, there was always this voice saying, you need to come back to God. You need to come back to God. You need to come back to God. I want to tell you, listen, if you say you love somebody and you're not telling them today, you're just with the 99, your life is not declaring to them, I'm new, I'm born again. Can I tell you, you're doing them a disservice. Many of you know this poem. It's an old poem, but it reflects what I'm trying to communicate. It's called My Friend. It says, my friend, I stand in judgment now. It's talking about a letter that someone is writing to their friend now they're on judgment. They're in judgment day. So obviously they're going to go to hell for all eternity soon. I feel that you are somehow to blame. On earth, I walked with you day by day and never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you tell his story. My knowledge was dim, but you could have led me straight to him. Though we lived together on earth, you never told me of the second birth. And now I stand condemned this day because of what you failed to say. You taught me many things, that's true. I called you friend and trusted you. And now I learned that it's too late. And you could have saved me from this fate. We walk by day and talk by night, yet you fail to show me light. You let me live and let me die, knowing I would never live on high. Yes, I called you friend in life and laughed with you through joy and strife. And yet, on coming to the end, I now can no longer call you my friend. Listen, there are people here, you know about Jesus. There are some new people here. You've been saved a year, 6 months. You know about Jesus. We've given you enough Jesus. There are people in your family that need Jesus. There are people in your surroundings that need Jesus. I thank God for the people that have got saved in this church, and they've brought mums and brothers and fathers and sisters and all types of people into this church because there's a conviction about them. There's a conviction about them. Put up your hand here if a friend or a family member brought you to this church. Put up your hand. Put up your hand. Look around. Look around. It's friends and family that won. That someone went in. It's not me. I didn't go in and get you. It was their friends and their family that brought them. New convert, listen, God wants to use your life. You've got to say, you know what? Forsake the old world. Forsake the old ways. In Ezekiel, it speaks about the blood is on our hands because of time. I'm going to move on. Let me tell you, if we can leave the 99, I want to tell you God has promised us more joy. Christian, we need joy. Do you know, out of everybody on this planet, we should be the most joyous? Have you noticed that church is really known for being the most boring? That Christians, that really, they lack joy? This is what Christianity is known for. If you try to tell people about Jesus, if you've got friends, they'll be like, what do? Oh, boring. Church is boring. No judgment, but Christians are boring. Because something is missing. Listen, just like that guy who goes, the soldier, he had to go back out. It's going to take courage. It's going to take courage. It's going to take courage. It's going to take prayer. We've got to be people of courage. We've got to be people of prayer that can leave the 99. Listen, sometimes just before God is going to call you out of that crowd, he's going to call you out of that carnality, he's going to call you out of that old life. And as he does that, you want to make that decision. Fear is going to fill your heart. Fear is going to fill you. Listen, if you will pray and say, God, use me, help me. I'm telling you, God will give you strength. God will give you the strength. See, when you leave the 99 is when you find real joy for your life. In our text, he says that he lays the lamb on his shoulder and he goes rejoicing. See, it's people that are focused on the 99, they start to lose their purpose. Christians that are always focused on the 99, they start to lose their hocus pocus. Maybe they're little witches, I don't know. But they lose their purpose. That's what happens. People lose their purpose. People start to, they come to church. And have you ever felt like he's just coming to church, go home, coming to church, go home, get up, go to work, coming to church, go home. And it's like, where did the month go? And it's like, because it's all about the 99. It's got to be about the ones. It's got to be about those that are coming now. It's got to be about the new generation. It's got to be about reaching out. He says this, once he's with the 99, he's cool, but something was missing. He goes out and he finds the one, and the Bible says once he finds the one, he's rejoicing. Listen, there is a joy that God has for you, Christian. You know, before I got saved, I found fulfillment in the things of the world, a temporal fulfillment, temporal happiness, smoking weed or drinking. And, you know, when I would drink, I would go to the maximum. I would look how much alcohol was in it. And if it was weak beer, I'd be like, just weak. I need more. I know this is a bit crass, but I'm just, you know, these are my analogies. I don't have mathematical equations for analogies. And so, also, you know, people would be, they'd be getting involved in drugs and all of these things, and they would do it to the max. I want to tell you today, there is a joy that God wants for you, and it really fills you to the max. It is a real tangible joy, but it is not with the 99. The 99 has its own joy. There is a joy with fellowship. There's a joy with those things. But I want to tell you, the real joy is out there. The real joy is when I become focused on what the next mission is. And the Bible says that he calls his friends. I've mentioned this a few times over the last few weeks. It says that once he's got the sheep, what does he do? He calls his friends. It brings joy to Christian friendships. There is something about when we're on mission, there's a camaraderie, there's a tightness to us, there's a refocusing of our mission. When we lose that, you start to wind me up. You ever feel like that? This person just wind me up, man. What you see is these little skirmishes among the church. She said, he said. This person don't talk to that person. That person don't talk to this person. People are like, oh, how come you don't come around and talk to me? Listen, I'm on mission. I'm trying to get people saved. Oh, they don't come and visit me. They don't come and talk to me. What are they doing? They're trying to have new convert fellowships. They're trying to work with people. They're trying to go places and do things for God. But you want them to come around and just stroke you. You've been saved long enough. Why don't you say, listen, I know you haven't come around and visit me for a while. I see that you're doing things with new converts. Next time you have a new convert fellowship, invite me. Let's go as a tag team. Let's go as a tag team. Let's go down and say, yeah, come on. Round, you know, let's get on mission. But rather than just sitting at home saying, oh, no one hasn't visited me. No one hasn't talked to me. No one hasn't called me. No one hasn't. The joy. See, really, this whole text is about God loving repentance. Because the Bible says that God says there will be more joy over in heaven over one sinner who repents. They have a party when people repent. I don't know if God's getting down, but I don't want to say that because that sounds a little bit disrespectful. Maybe the angels are getting down and God's just moving slightly. Just chilling. You know, I'm a big man now. Big man don't do no crazy dancing. You're the old man. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, if over 40, you're getting down. No. Come on, man. Put that behind you. Start doing a running man and moonwalk. But the Bible says, listen, when one repents, in heaven, they start to go rejoicing. When we say, listen, you might be here and you're an established saint and you realize, you know what? I need to repent. I've been focusing on the 99. If tonight you say, I'm going to focus on the one, in heaven, they go, yeah, because you repented. God ain't finished with you. This sermon ain't to say, listen, God's done with you. Established saint. How could he be done with you? You're making this church work. You're the legs and arms of this church. You're valuable in God's kingdom. But as we would say, all of us that have been saved a while to say, listen, it's all about the one. Those of you that are held by worldliness and carnality and you're trying to impress the world, hold on to the world, hold on to the kingdom. If you would let go of the world today and say, listen, I'm going all the way for God. I want to be a disciple. I'm telling you now, heaven goes like, yeah. A new convert, if you make a decision today, I'm going to get serious about Jesus. I'm new here. I've been saved 6 months, year, but I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. I'm going online. I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to sanctify my social media. I'm going to tell people I'm saved. Some of you, what? Your heart just skipped a beat when I said that. Well, I'm going to go online. Listen, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm going to start putting some scriptures up. Beware. You're going to enter into a fight if you do that. But know this, you're a soldier. You're a soldier. And I want to tell you this now, I'd rather please God than please man. Because God's blessing is better than man's favor. Let us be a people that say, you know what? We're letting go of the 99. And we're going in. And we say, you know what, God? I want you to use my life. I'm going to focus on the one. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.